Many years ago in San Francisco, I was homeless, I was jobless, I was penniless, and truly hungry. And how I got into that predicament is a story in and of itself, although I can sum it up in two words: art school. So I got the only job I could find, the only place that would hire me, which was a maid service in San Francisco. And you know, they only hired three kinds of people. They hired new immigrants, ex-cons, and those who had no job skills whatsoever. So, to make matters worse, they took away our identity. We no longer had a name, we had a number. I was maid number 1927, which really, really bothered me. Not so much the ex-cons. I guess they were kind of used to the whole number thing, you know? But anyway, I decided if I'm going to be a maid, I'm going to approach this like it's this grand sociology experiment, if you will. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a maid or had a maid or hired a maid, but here's the thing about maids. We know all your dirt, okay? You know, the lipstick around the wine glass in the sink, we know that's not your wife's shade, okay? So I decide I'm going to go into this and figure out everything there is to know about these people's lives, who these people are down to their core, based on the proverbial dirt that they leave behind, the evidence, if you will. I call this maid forensics. So my first subject was a lonely, single, white male bachelor who played chess with the newspaper. Now, I don't know if you remember, there was a little chess move section in the funny pages, and you could actually play chess every day against the paper, and this guy didn't have any friends, so he played against the newspaper, and the newspaper beat the pants off him. And I knew this because the section was all crumpled up and thrown across the room, and it was like he just turned up the whole chessboard because there were pieces everywhere. You know, there was like a rook behind the couch and a pawn under the refrigerator. So I gathered all these pieces, I reset the chessboard, and I'm called to come back and clean 2 days later. And the place looks exactly the way I left it, except the chessboard. A white pawn has been moved 2 spaces forward. So I figure, what the hell, my move. So I move a black pawn, I clean the place. I'm called to clean again another day, and sure enough, it's my move. So I figure, you know, this is a pretty good gig, because I'm barely cleaning this house. I'm playing chess, and the guy left me cash tips. And that meant I had food in my belly that day, so I was rocking along here. Until he ups the ante a little bit, okay? He leaves me the forensic holy grail. It was his diary. Open, right by the chessboard. So, you know, I'm dusting around, and I look, and I'll be damned, it looks like the lonely bachelor playing chess thinks he's going to be getting it on with the chess-playing maid. Well, I did what any of you would have done, okay? I went straight to the library, I got a book out by Bobby Fischer. And about 4 or 5 cleanings later, it was checkmate, and suddenly my cleaning services were no longer needed at that address. So, you know, all was fine and good, but I'll tell you, maid work is physically and mentally grueling. And it all came to a head when I had to clean at 224 and a half Congdon Street. I got off on the wrong foot right away. I couldn't find the house. And so that you know I'm not a complete moron, 224 and a half was not in between 224 and 225, and I couldn't find the house. It took me about an hour. So when I got there, the client was very pissed and berated me for about 30 minutes. Now, to understand this woman, she was mean, she was bitter, she was unhappy. She was a lesbian lawyer slash marathon runner. And I knew that she had pictures all around her place of her, like, running marathons, like, crossing the finish line with a clock, you know, as one of these, you know, in every portrait, and she looks like she's going to have a coronary arrest in every single picture. And I knew I knew that she had to be lonely and wasn't getting any action, because the telltale sign, she had hospital corners on her bed, you know, which, that was the telltale sign for me. This woman was unhappy. Well, every time I came to clean for her, every time, she had to give me instructions. every time. And it was this condescending tone, you know. It was this elongated speech with these wild gestures. It was like this. I want you to clean my toilet, okay, every time. You know, and I just kind of nod, you know. And after four or five times, I realize she has no idea that I speak any English whatsoever. So, you know, I'm thinking about this, and as I'm planning my great reveal of my command of the English language, you know, and I'm getting more and more worked up. You know, I'm like, ooh, that pompous, presumptuous, classist barrister, you know. And, you know, I'm getting really worked up. And then I realize the fault is all mine. I never gave her any indication that I spoke English, okay? And here's why. When you clean toilets day in, day out, like it's some royal throne, scrubbing floors on your hands and knees day after day, picking up somebody else's dirty underwear, it takes a toll on the psyche, okay? And all of a sudden, it was like the little candle went off above my head. You know, I used to enter a room chest first, and now when I walked in the house, I was slouched over. You know, I used to look you right in the eye when I talked to you, but now I could only stare at the floor. I obviously have no problem expressing myself, and yet when I walked through that door, I could barely mumble the word morning. And that's when I knew. That's when it hit me. I was the great sociology experiment. I was the mouse in the maze, because I had now become what she already believed me to be, lower than dirt. So to save my soul and my psyche, I knew I had to quit. But I'm gonna leave you with three things that I learned from this that you can take with you and do with as you wish, which is number one, always leave a cash tip for the maid. It may be the only meal they get, and they're less likely to do nasty things with your toothbrush if you don't. Think about that the next time you stay in a hotel. Number two, what you earn is not what you are worth. And number three, to get that really extra sparkle in your bathroom fixtures, a little Windex and a dry paper towel. That's it.